This week's Sedras, Parshios Bahar and Bechukosa. Parshios Bahar deals with the mitzvah of Shemitah, that we rest on the seventh year from our planting and plowing, etc. And the famous question is written in the Torah itself. V'chisomru, ma nochal, b'shana shviz, ein lo nizra, v'lo nesafes, v'seinim. So then if you'll ask, well, wait a second, if we're going to, on the seventh year, be leaving the land foul, we're not going to plant or plow or anything, so what are we going to eat? How can we make a parnasa? So the Hashem answers, don't worry, don't worry, you'll get extra produce on the sixth year and everything will work out. So the Sfas Emes has a very passionate question, which he asks over here. He says, I don't understand, what is the question? Right, v'chisa, what are we going to eat what's the question? Meaning, says we know, who are we talking about? Who's going to be asking this question? People that are, they don't believe in God and the Torah and the mitzvahs? No, because they're not going to be keeping Shemitah, right? So these are people that believe in God, believe in the mitzvahs or whatever. So now what's the question? In other words, if God gave a mitzvah of Shemitah, what is he to give it? It is a mitzvah that you're going to keep and everybody's going to die. Ridiculous, right? Meaning, if Hashem gave the mitzvah, somehow everything will work out. It has to. So what are you asking? Right? God's in control over it. He's the one that gave you the mitzvah. And he said, don't worry, everything will work out. Like, same thing at Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to work on Shabbos. So we don't ask, well, what's going to be? How am I going to be? Because, you know, somehow Hashem gave us the mitzvah. To me, it must have to work out somehow. So too here. So what's the question? Let's touch on that. So I was thinking of the following answer based on a vort from the Chaim Kanievsky. And based on a Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Vav, which is based on a passage in Tanakh in Malachim Beis. The background to the Gemara is the, like we said, a passage in Tanakh dealing with Elisha Navi. Elisha Navi, he was in Yericho. And the water supply there was very bad. It was bitter water, whatever. And as a result, you know, people were suffering from it. And Elisha came to save the day, and he made the water supply sweet. And what happened? As he was leaving the city, a group of 42 youths, Narim, as they're called in there, they ridiculed him. They started making fun of him. They said, Ale Kereach, Ale Kereach. Elisha was bald. And they said, you baldy, get out of here. Get out of here, baldy. They're chasing him away. They made fun of him, called him a baldy. Get out of here. Now, why were they so upset? They were upset because they felt that Elisha stole their parnasa. What's pshat? He said, well, because these people, these youths, they had a great parnasa going. When the water supply was bad, so they brought in bottled water. Right? Made it. You know, great, they sell a bottle of water. People needed their water because the water supply was no good. And they were making a killing. Until Elisha came and spoiled everything. He made the water supply good again, and now they're out of Parnassa. So that's why they're upset, and they were ridiculing him. So Elisha was not at all happy being spoken to in such a way. And as a result, he cursed them. He gave them a curse. And what happened, these bears came out, miraculously, these bears, so he was upset at what was saying, so he cursed them, and these bears came out, and killed all of them, all 42. So the Gemara says, according to one opinion, that over here, there was a neis betoch neis. There was a double miracle. What was the double miracle? Lo yarhaveh? Velo dubim hava, says the Gemara. There was no forest and there were no bears. There was nothing. And when Elisha gave his curse, all of a sudden a forest was created and bears were created, came out of the forest, and they killed these youths. And hence the expression, for those of you familiar with Hebrew expression, is expression lo dubim velo yar. You want to tell somebody, what you're saying is ridiculous, it never happened. The expression, lo dubim lo yar. There was no, it comes from this Gemara, right? It says there's no forest, no bear. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, what need is there to make a miracle that a forest should come? Bears, I understand. You know, the bears should come out to kill these youth. But what's the need of making a miracle to create a forest? So the Gemara answers. The Gemara says, well, because the way bears work, and other animals as well, is they will not attack unless they're in their natural habitat. In other words, they have to have their home in nearby, because otherwise they're scared to attack, have nowhere to run to. Right? So therefore, only if there's a forest, so they'll attack and be able to run back in the forest. If they don't have their forest, they won't attack. And therefore, there's necessity for the double miracle, there should be a forest and the bears, so now they can attack these kids. That's the Gemara Ad Kan. So Rav Chaim Shlita asks, says, I don't understand. Still difficult. What do you need the forest for? The bears. Where did they come from? It was a miracle, right? Out of nowhere, miraculous. Well, the whole thing of the bears it was a miracle. They came out of nowhere. So why can't you just make a miracle? There were anyways a miracle, these bears. Why can't you make a miracle? These bears come out and kill without having the forest behind them. The whole concept of the bears was a miracle to begin with. So have these bears to be, which are miracle bears, that they attack without a forest. Why do you need to have the natural habitat of this so they can attack? They can attack. Exactly, that's his question, right? It was you don't need the yard anyway. So he answers the following. He says, because these youths over here were being taught a lesson, because they were making a mistake in hashkafa, and they were being taught the proper hashkafa in life. And what is that? The mistake was that they thought, which most people think today, unfortunately, that Parnassa is a natural thing. In other words, Parnassa is in the hands of man. Whatever you do, you work harder, you make more money, you work less, you get less money. You know, how do you make money? You get a degree, and then you go, you work, and you get your paycheck. It's all like a natural thing. What I do, I make my Parnassa, right? Which is, of course, a grave error, because that's not true, right? A Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you Parnassa. Right, whatever is meant to be, how much you're meant to have, you're going to have. You work more, you work less. Everything is in the hands of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, and but what he says, the concept is that the way Hashem made things run is that He took this nace called Parnassah, because it's a miracle. This comes to you. However, Hashem disguised it or camouflaged it in a form of teva, to make people think that it's natural. So he said that itself is a nace. So it comes out that Parnassa is really nace, but toch nace. The whole concept of the Parnassa in itself is a nace. Okay? And that it looks natural, and it doesn't not, that itself is a nace. Right? Similar to what? If you wanted to get the picture, let's say in the Jews in the desert, right, with the man. That was a miracle, right, without a natural look to it, right? Their mind came from the sky. It's obvious and a clear miracle. Nowadays, we don't have that. What do we have now? Now we have, it's also a miracle, our Parnassa, but it's disguised to make it look natural. Yeah, look, I worked on my paycheck. It looks natural. That itself is a nace. It's a nace, but tough nace. Reminds me of Maisa a couple of years ago, and so I was traveling to Yerushalayim. So I ordered a taxi for the purposes, and I was waiting for the taxi, and he comes a little bit later than I'd expected, but he apologized. He comes in, he says, listen, I'd like to apologize, but this driver, I wasn't supposed to take you, another driver was, he got the call, he came to the moshav to pick you up, and then just as he was driving to the moshav, he was feeling very dizzy. So he didn't want to make the trip to Yerushalayim feeling like this, so, you know, rightly so. So he called back to the station, I can't make the trip. They called me, and that's why I'm here, and sorry I'm a little bit late. Okay, fine, no problem. And get in, and we're on our way to Yerushalayim. So, you know, as they're driving, you know, the cab driver, they get calls on the radio, you know, for a car right here, right there, you know, whatever. And there's a call comes out that they need somebody to be taken back from Yerushalayim back to here, this area. So, of course, this driver jumped on the bandwagon. Right? Great for him, right? He has one, you know, fare to go to Yerushalayim, and then he could pick somebody up and get another fare coming back, instead of coming back empty. So he was like, oh, great. and so he wanted to, call in, I'll take the ride, whatever, right? As it happens, another driver, somehow called in first, and he got the ride back. And this guy was furious. He says, this guy, that's not fair, he stole my ride, And he calls up the other guy that took the ride, and says, nice thing that you did to me, eh? And he starts giving a piece of mind. He wouldn't stop talking about it. He was so upset and cursing him. So after he calmed down a little bit, I said to him, I said, don't you realize how everything is in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Right? Don't you realize that you're the Parnassa? I said, couldn't you see it yourself? I said, how did you get the ride that you took me to Yerushalayim to begin with? It wasn't supposed to be you. Somebody else, you yourself explained to me that you came, another guy came, but he got dizzy, and because of that, you got the ride. So what do you see? A Kadosh Baruch Hu is over there. You should get the ride, Shalom. And not this other guy. He got sick, and you got the ride. You see it in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so now, too, he took your ride. Okay, it was not meant to be that you should have the ride back for whatever reason, and this guy took your ride. Who knows whatever else Hashem has in store for you. So that's the way people are. They don't realize that, that it's all in the hands of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because it looks natural. But that itself is a nes b'tochanei. So therefore, this was a lesson Hashem was trying to teach these kids. They were, Elisha, you stole our parnasa. You can't steal our parnasa. Right? Chazal say that ain't adam no gei b'masha magil achaver alfil kolonayz. Nobody can take away your parnasa. Not your parnasa. Hashem gives everybody what he needs. Nobody can take away anything from anybody. What's coming to you is coming to you. So same thing. You took our parnasa. We were selling water. Now we can't. That's what they were saying. Right? Hashem says it's all in the hands of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Elisha didn't take away anything. But what? It looks that way, right? It looks natural. But it's not. It's a neis b'toch neis. Parnassa is a neis b'toch neis. It's itself as a miracle, and it looks natural, which is itself a second miracle. And therefore, he brought out the bears with the forest to prove that point. Look, of course he could have made bears answer of Chaim's question. Of course he could have taken bears and that's it, and without their natural habitat behind them. But he wanted to show that just so through here, Nate v'toch Nate, we have the bears themselves a miracle, but Hashem made it look natural of having their natural habitat with them, which is normally the case with regular bears, that they need a natural habitat. He wanted to show them that's the same thing as Parnassa. There's a miracle, but we have a second miracle which makes it look natural. Now is the lesson he was teaching them with the bears. So thinking, to use this to answer up the Sotemis question that we started with. Right? We asked, so what kind of question is this? What are we going to eat? We're not planting in the seventh year. What are we going to eat? Sotemis asked, we said, what kind of a question is this? Hey, you believe in God and in the mitzvahs and everything. Obviously, you're going to ask, what are we going to eat? And Hashem's going to say, that's a good question. I didn't think of that. I gave you this mitzvah and it slipped my mind. Like, what am I going to do with you? And it's ridiculous. Obviously, if he gave the mitzvah, he'll work things out. In a chanami, I want to say that's not what they're asking. They're not asking, what are we going to eat? Of course Hashem's going to take care. But they knew how Hashem works, or we know, okay? The Torah says that when you ask, we're not going to be asking how. We're going to be asking Hashem, wait a second, you don't work miraculously. Parnassa is a neis v'toch neis. It itself is a neis, but it always looks natural. So the question is, mano chalv, and I was, how are you going to give us food that's going to look natural? Because that's how you work. It's not just one nace, it's a nace b'toch nace. So how are you going to give us the food naturally? We're not going to be eating it a whole year. You don't plant and harvest. You can't survive like that naturally. Of course you can bring the man down from Shemaim. We understand that, and you could do that. Maybe that's what you're going to do. But Hashem, you don't work that way. You work always the disguising parnasa, making it look natural. How are you going to do that? That's the question. And the answer is, don't worry, it'll look somewhat natural. I'll just make the produce on the sixth year, double, whatever, it'll be extra, whatever. It's not going to be man from Shemayim. It'll be produce just look, more. It'll be miraculous, but it'll look a little bit natural as well. And then, therefore, that was the Kadosh Baruch Hu's answer. There's an interesting story. Also, we see how it's an Indian of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything in the hands of Kadosh Baruch Hu and parnasa what? There was a couple that were getting married. They're engaged. And they didn't have too much means, but they wanted to get themselves organized for when they get married, the place to live. So they had in their possession between the two sides that $40,000. So they wanted to know what should they do with $40,000? It's not really so enough to buy an apartment. So they went to Rav Chaim and Kanievsky, and they asked him, what should we do? So he says, buy an apartment in Bnei Brak. Says, hello, knock, knock, $40,000 apartment. You can't get a $40,000 apartment in Bnei Brak. The cheapest little whatever is $100,000, right? $40,000 Bnei Brak. Says, you can't. So, you maybe didn't understand. We're not renting, we want to buy. What shall we say? He said, let's buy an apartment in Bnei Brak. Okay, Rechaim said. So they go to the real estate agent, with their Munas Chachami, and they sit down with the agent, and they say, listen, we want to buy an apartment. And the agent asks, very nice, how much money do you have to spend? That's $40,000. $40,000. Are you joking? $40,000? But Bnei Brak want to buy an apartment for them? He says, listen, Rechaim said, $40,000. So, okay, fine, we'll write you down, and if something comes up, ha-ha, you know, then we'll get back to you. He said, okay, fine. Then they wrote him down, and that was done. What happens? A few days later, they get a phone call. Who was it? Real estate agent. Says, what's the story? He says, well, we might have something for you. Says, ah, he knew it. Knew what's the story. Says, well, it's not exactly a normal setup. Says, knew what's the setup. Says, well, in Bnei Brak, there's an apartment. It's actually a very nice apartment. It has three bedrooms, nice size, everything's good. Yeah, he said, but there's things like this. There's a very old man lives there, and he's very sick. And he doesn't have any children or anything. And the story is, he needs a dialysis machine. And it's very, very expensive. And he can't afford it. And it costs like $40,000. So he's willing to make a deal with you. You buy him the dialysis machine, okay, so he'll have it. And then he'll let you live in the apartment with him. He'll take, you know, just one bedroom and, you know, have a separate entrance or whatever. You can share the apartment with him. You buy him the dialysis machine, which you have the money for, right, $40,000. He'll give you the apartment to live in with him. And after 120 years, when he dies, the apartment's yours. So what do you say? Okay, they weren't so sure, you know, sharing an apartment with this guy, or a sick man, this, that, whatever. But they said, okay, well, we'll think about it. They went to Rav Chaim, and they told him, no, this is the what we are. Rav Chaim said, take it. Okay, Munas Chachamim, and they said, the real estate agent, fine, we'll take it. They went out, they bought this dialysis machine, $40,000. They gave it to the guy, everything's nice, and they started getting ready for their chasana. Wouldn't you know it? Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, just a few days before the chasana, the man was nifter. The apartment was already, you know, now theirs for no money. And not only that, they didn't need this dialysis machine. They sold the machine back. They got their $40,000 back. So now they have their apartment and their $40,000 in spending money. As we see, Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, gives everybody their parnasa. It's the theirs things, but again, natural, go thing, real estate agent, put the money, whatever. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu works. Parnasa is a nace, sometimes we see it more or less, but it's camouflage. You have to realize that. One other little story, I also saw on this line, that there was another couple, that they're very poor, they didn't have even $40,000, and they were getting married. And here too, with Siyata Deshmaya, they had a great arrangement. What happened? There was this yeshiva. I made a deal with this old man that he had this beautiful apartment, not in Bnei Brak, but on the outskirts, and he had a beautiful villa, a beautiful house. And he promised to when he died that since he didn't have kids, he was going to give it to the yeshiva. So that was the deal. It was all on paper, legally, lawyers, everything. And what happened? Sure enough, the guy was nifter one day, and the house went over to the yeshiva. So the yeshiva says, wonderful. So they said, let's move in. You know, we can make a nice dining room there, or a nice this, or a dorm rooms, whatever. However, the neighbors got all very upset. They said, no, we're not a yeshiva over here. It wasn't a frum neighborhood even. That made matters worse. And, you know, what, a yeshiva, dorms, bachrum, this, that, you know, they put up a fight, and it went to the courts, and sure enough, the courts ruled that you cannot open the yeshiva over there, like put in, because of the noise level, etc., it's a residential area, etc., and they ruled that they cannot go in. How, that doesn't mean that they didn't have the house. Again, the house was there, and just that they couldn't move in. So what did the Hanala do? They decided to sit down and said, oh, chaval, we have a house, it shouldn't sit empty. So we'll see who we can put in there. So they looked at their Rav Rechim and their Kollel, and they had their eyes on this young couple who were very, very, you know, poor. And they called them in and said, listen, we have a house for you. Vakasha, you can live in the house. It's, I didn't find it over to them, but basically, I mean, they can't move in. So they let the young couple move in. They moved into the house. And besides having a house that they ever dreamed, a beautiful, huge villa, and which they never dreamed of, they got that. And besides that, since he started giving shiurim there in the area, because there was not a firm area, and he started meeting the car of the people, and then he started having a parnasa, you know, giving shiurim and stuff to the area over there. And it's also, in the end, not only he had his house, he had his parnasa, and everything worked out. Again, it's all minushamayim. Right, it fell from Shemayim. But Lamaisa, he said, all our parnasa falls from Shemayim. It's all the man. It's in Senes Aman, as they said, that every Jodor has to realize. Except Hashem does a wonderful job, you know, bringing the second Nes, that he makes it look natural. And unfortunately, that's what fools people. And they think that there is me, I'm like this taxi driver we spoke about. Me, he stole it, I took it, whatever. Nah, you have to relax. Kosh Baruch Hu's taking care of everything. Everybody gets what they need. It's Hashem, we take this to heart. And realize all the miracles that Kosh Baruch Hu does, v'chol mitzvah shev'chol yom imanu, then Yitz Hashem, He will continue showering us with nisim and bring the greatest nes, the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, imhera v'yameinu.